Good evening and welcome to Holden Village. Today is November 22nd, year 2000. And this evening in the fireside is Chuck Harris, who will be doing the introduction to the retreat, along with Janet Grant and Ben Stewart. The session number is HAC 2000-1. Now just sit back, relax, and enjoy the festivities.
I'm Ben. Again, I'm the village pastor, and it's wonderful to see you all here. I'm wondering from your small group discussions, what kind of common themes emerged? What linkages, what connections did you make in your group about things that you all value about Advent? Just pop up and say
that. We're all different.
You're all different. So that's not allowed.
Anticipating.
Okay.
Lighting candles.
Lighting candles. Mm.
Okay. Marking the days.
Marking the days, counting time.
Waiting.
Waiting.
Being pregnant.
Hello.
Yeah.
You want to say more about that?
Yeah.
Waiting, marking the days, being pregnant. Other people.
Hopeful.
Hope.
Darkness and light. Stars in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, we heard that too. Like somebody mentioned the word from Vespers tonight. Light shines in the darkness. Other stuff.
You talk about building light. The light building.
Growing through the week. Yeah. Other things?
Music.
Music. Yeah. Good music. Other stuff.
Two people in our group mentioned that their churches, some churches used to have Wednesday evening services all through Advent, and others don't do that.
So some counting the days kind of in the middle of the week in addition to Sunday. Yes?
A couple of comments in the realm of counterculture.
Any specific things you're pointing to in counterculture?
I think it would go around the hubbub of Thanksgiving and Christmas and buy, spend,
yes,
as opposed to what it's all about.
Okay. Going against the culture of consumerism and, yeah.
Which of course fits with old.
Yes. Okay. Good stuff. Other things? Any other things?
The rest of the world hasn't grabbed on to Advent yet.
Yeah, another countercultural theme.
We're ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
There's ethnic traditions.
Can you name any of them? I'm curious just about what those might have been. Have people mentioned any?
Oh, we're talking about Switzerland putting out the shoes on St. Nicholas Day.
Yeah.
It was getting the children involved in some traditional things.
Yeah.
And another thing was the music, starting to learn Christmas music. It's a nice part of that.
Starting to learn it, yeah. And St. Nicholas Day is part of, isn't that December 6th? It's a real, I mean, talk about countercultural, doing your gifts or whatever then. Yeah. Other things. These are great.
We used to have an Advent calendar that we opened up each day and
opening
a different little Bible verse or prophecy or something.
Yeah. I remember as a boy approaching that trembling hand, getting to open it every third night. Other things? Okay. Perry, looks like you're about to say something.
Dude. Who's going to know?
Okay. Well, keeping in mind all of these wonderful traditions and things that we value about Advent, and things we may not even know about Advent yet, I want to give you just briefly, before we talk more about Advent, just kind of a sketch of our worship life here in these next few days as we prepare for Advent, and how some of these events, which may not seem so connected to the season of Advent, can actually be a good preparation for the season. Tomorrow night, in this very room, we'll celebrate, and some of you, I apologize, this is a repeat for the orientation, the Thanksgiving Eucharist, which is really to say the Thanksgiving, since Eucharist in Greek means Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in down lake is quite a different affair on TV and other places than we'll do it here in community. And it is a good way to usher in that season. I was in New York City last year for Thanksgiving, and it was definitely the kickoff to the shopping season. And it's not that here.
The bookstore's not having a sale.
Maybe. There's an idea. But Thanksgiving here does begin a kickoff kind of to Advent here. Prayer around the cross will have all the darkness and the light and the expectation and hope when we gather in a dark room here to light candles against the darkness as signs of hope and expectation together. Saturday, where's Heidi? I don't know how to link a couple of installations into Advent, but...
New beginnings.
Yes. New beginnings. Very
good.
Expectations.
High
hopes. Come, Emmanuel. Lent will come, right? Sunday morning, Christ the King, this kind of cosmic capstone to the church year that gets us ready to begin Advent, that gives us a vision of kind of all the things that Advent longs for. Christ, the Lord of love being Lord of the universe and revealed to us as that. And that will happen in the morning before many of you leave. So I do want to talk a little bit about Advent and pre-Advent here at Holden. Has everyone, if you came up on the bus today, switched your watch yet to Holden Standard Time? Yes? Okay. I think that is one of the most symbolic things that you can do in coming up here. I really like that. You are in your own time zone in all of North America right now. You are out of sync with the rest of the world. The people all around us are literally in a different time zone. And I wonder if maybe this weekend, when you're on that time zone, if you can think about what it means to be in Advent time. How are we out of sync? You're certainly gonna feel that when you go back into the down lake world. Walking into a mall, hearing the canned Christmas music and the advertisements blaring at you. Advent is this time that's out of sync, soul searching, it's quiet, preparation, waiting, and hope. And Holden's life here can really let you have 4 days of living in a different time zone. And so it's to empower us and refresh us to send us back out there to keep living in kind of a different time zone. So I'm going to turn this over to Chuck with words of just encouragement for this to be a time for you to take a nice stroll down the 10 Mile Falls Trail, settle into some good Bible studies, don't cook, just enjoy the food, and begin to settle into this different time zone that is Advent.
Thank you. I'd like to ask everyone to stand, please. And if I could have someone just dim the lights, just not all of them, just a few of them. Thank you. As I looked and searched the scripture to begin my time of preparation, which was about last March, I think March or April, I got my first word of invitation to this. So I've been preparing for Advent since Lent of last year and trying to think through how we as a community here for this very short period of time, at least for many of us in this room, we will be here only for a few days, a precious number of hours. And as we enter into community here, what are Advent themes, what are Advent images, what are Advent lifestyles that we can take with us, not just personally out into our daily life, but into the communities that we call home, wherever, whatever those communities might be. And one of the images that I found as I've been searching since last Lent is, of course, how important the stars and starlight seems to be for many parts of the Bible. So I'd like to ask everyone just to close their eyes as we begin this evening in terms of talking about the Bible study. Just close your eyes. And if you can, just let your hands hang at your side. Maybe take a deep breath. Breathe in. Draw the breath of the Spirit of God deep within your body and then let it go. And as you breathe this glorious mountain air, look up in your mind's eye to the starlight that fills our sky, to the thousands, indeed millions and uncountable numbers of stars that shine brilliantly above us against the dark night sky. Think of Abraham and Sarah as they looked up and searched the evening sky, counting the stars, thinking of the wonderful promise of God that their descendants would number such as those above. Think of the travels of the prophets, Amos and Isaiah, Jeremiah, across desert sands, looking up to the night sky, wondering if in the midst of oppression, in the midst of injustice, there really was a God behind those stars, peering down, making things right and in sync with the way God desires them to be. Think of the words of the Son of Man as he speaks of a shaking in the heavens and of falling stars, of dimming moon, of exploding sun, and how all that seems to be so orderly in our universe will make way for the coming of this one. And then finally think of Mary as she traveled early in her pregnancy, after just hearing from the angel. Think of Mary traveling to greet Elizabeth. And there, as they met in community, they shared their God stories under the starlight of the heavenly skies. These were Advent times. Abraham and Sarah await a child. The prophets await justice. The Son of Man awaits the culmination of all things. And two women gather in community and await the birthing of God's most intimate promise and God's self among us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O expectant one, in whatever form you come to us this week, we pray that you might come to us and share yourself through story, through song, through laughter and tears, through expectant hearts, through dark places in our pasts and fears about the future. Come, O expectant one, be delivered with the fullness of hope. Amen. Please be seated. Get some. There we go. Oh, whoa. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. One of the things that I thought about as I was thinking about the four gospel lessons for this coming Advent season. The one thing that struck me was, thank God, they're all from the same gospel. I don't have to bring like a gazillion commentaries and stuff. I can just focus on Luke. And really, this is our time to share Luke with one another. A couple things about Luke that I want to say as we begin to think through what some of the gospel lessons are going to bring is that Luke, as many of us have kind of picked up maybe over the years, is kind of a topsy-turvy kind of gospel. It's not a story, it's not a place that is going to want to let us kind of stay where we're at. So one of the things that I hope to do as I teach the Bible studies is to not let us get too settled in our chairs. We're going to move around a little bit and become a little bit topsy-turvy along with Luke and the characters we meet in there. So bring your track shoes with you. We'll be moving around a little bit. Secondly, whenever it seems something important happens in Luke, people get together and share a story, share an experience. And I'm going to be doing a little bit of an invitation for each of us who are part of the Bible study to share some of our experiences that we've had with these texts or just in our lives. I want to say something about that. I would like to invite people to only share that which you feel comfortable sharing. And then also, secondly, if whether in a small group or one-on-one time, or even in the large group, if someone shares something, if someone shares really anything, that becomes respected within this community and really not shared outside of it. Because this, hopefully, over the next couple of days, will be a safe place for us to let some of ourselves out. And let's respect that. And hopefully, no one has hidden cameras or microphones or microphones. Then you can change your name to disguise the guilty if you need to. But let's respect that. Finally, I'd like to invite you to think about this question for a second. When you think about your life in general, on a spectrum between profound hope on the one hand, or on the one end, and real just kind of down in despair on the other. Just think for a moment, are you someone who kind of balances those two things in your own life? Or do you vacillate back and forth? Or do you find that you're just always a naturally down in the dump kind of person? Or you're naturally, you know, just bubbly and happy and everything's wonderful? Just think for that for a second. Imagine where you're set on this kind of spectrum. And then just maybe on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being down the dumps and 10 being way too happy. Where are you at? Shout a few out and say, shout a number out and then just say very quickly why that is, or have you always been that way or something. Someone, shout out a number.
8.
Always been that way?
No.
Oh, moved from 10 down or?
Moved from probably 1.
1 up. Okay. Okay. Feeling good about that?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Someone else. What number are you? You don't shout out, I start picking on people. Who? What?
10.
Always been there?
No. When I look at the long haul, it's been ones, twos, and threes, and then in the last, oh, say, 25 years, hello, Laura, it's been gradually moving up, and at this point, it's beyond wonderment. It's ridiculous.
Wonderful.
Wow.
He's practically floating
here. Any minute,
levitate above. That would be wonderful. Please, that'd be great. Someone else, shout out a number.
Six and a half.
The six is why sixes? Always been a six. Can't be totally balanced. Just have to tilt the.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm other way, but
But in general, you're kind of balanced, but you tilt a little bit that way. Six, six and a half in the...
Working to get off five.
Yeah, I love it. Someone else, let's just do it.
Perfectly balanced.
Couple, perfectly balanced. What's, did you, was that a question?
Yeah.
I don't know what perfectly balanced is. I've never been there in my life. I really haven't. I vacillate in my life. I found this out, especially over the last year. I vacillate a lot between 0 and 10. Some days I am so filled with hope. I am so open to the future. I really am grounded in what God is all about, I think, in my life. And I'm torn open and I look inside and I see myself and I know that it's not me having to pump myself up. But there's this wonderful God that says, you know, you are one of my precious children. That's who you are. Now just celebrate it and live it. You know, those are my 10 days. And there are those 0 days. The days of despair, where you get torn open, whether you do it yourself or someone else does it to you. And you look inside and you don't hear that voice telling you who you are. And you hear some of those other voices you picked up along the way in your life. Or you hear maybe your own voice in a little more accusatory tone. And you hear it say, man, if I had to choose between life and death today, you know that great verse from the Old Testament, choose life. Well, not today. I'd rather not. You know, it's part of life. What I want to open up for all of us here in our time together is one of the overriding senses that I've gotten from these Advent gospel lessons is that whatever God is doing, God is making space both for despair and for hope. That really, one thing that Advent is about is the creation of space for all things. All parts of who we are. To bring all those things into a recreation. That there really is nothing that God cannot recreate or is not working toward recreating. Both our joys and our sorrows. A woman recently talked to me during a Sunday morning adult Bible class. We were looking at this book in this class by Douglas John Hall, God and Human Suffering. And as I was reading a portion of it, she began to speak soon after I read it. So I want to read this portion to you and then share with you what she said. Hall, in his book, picks up a part of the story by Frederick Buechner, his novel Lion Country. Has anyone read that? No? Buechner fan?
Big Buechner fan.
I haven't read that. No? No? Oh, come on. Mary Emily's going to be, she's going to become my... I always have to glare at someone when I teach, and yeah. And it's good. I got to pick on someone. It's gonna be you. Thank you. In the story Lion Country by Frederick Buechner, Antonio has a twin sister who eventually dies of a fatal disorder which has to do with her bones. And at the end of the story, Antonio makes the following observation: when Miriam's bones were breaking, if I could have pushed a button that would have stopped not her pain, but the pain of her in me, I would not have pushed the button. Because, to put it quite simply, my pain was because I loved her, and to have wished my pain away would have been somehow to wish my love away as well. I would not have pushed the button because, to put it quite simply, my pain was because I loved her. And to have wished my pain away would have been somehow to wish my love away as well. In the silence that followed that short part from that book, a woman raised her hand and asked to speak. With a kind of quivering in her voice and tears in her eyes, she said that for many years she has been going to a group called Compassionate Friends, which is a support group for folks who have lost children. She lost a teenage child in a car accident, a reckless, unthinking act on her child's part that caused death. And in the years since that accident, she, along with others who have lost children, she has come to an understanding about despair, about suffering. And she said this in the midst of our group. She says, "I've learned that I never want to get over the pain of my child's death. I want to get better with it. I never want to get over the pain of my child's death. I want to get better with it." In the gospel lessons, threaded kind of through, woven into the lessons that we have for Advent, are a theme of God not wanting to get over the loss of a relationship with us. Not wanting to get over the pain or suffering that God has felt in a kind of wandering that we have done away from God. In a sense, in her words, God wants to get better with it because God does not want to give up the great love that grows out of sharing and suffering. Our first lesson will be from Luke 21. You know, it's the lesson where everything kind of seems to be coming to a head. And the disciples ask, you know, when's the end going to come? And Jesus goes in and talking about the sun and the moon and the stars and the tree and the leaves and all sorts of good stuff and live your lives, you know, soberly and all that good thing. Be sober because the end is coming. It really is. It's almost over. When is it almost over? It is almost over, but not quite yet. And the title for that session is going to be Struggling with Hope and Despair in a Dying World. Really asking the question, what does it mean to struggle with hope and despair in a world that doesn't seem to be going anywhere but down at times? And really struggle with that together. As a community, I'm going to ask us to think about how do we endure the movement of history together as a Christian community. What does endurance really mean? What does endurance really mean? Another title for this session is Let's All Share a Glass of Wine as the Last Sunset Dips Below the Horizon. And toast, the toasted day. I love that. Let's just drink up because it's all over.
The sober part.
Well, then we talk about being sober, so.
Of course, you can really call me at the sunset.
I'm not a totally melancholy kind of guy here, folks. But we have to take some of this seriously, and we'll laugh through it all. The second session is going to be from Luke 3, and this is the thing where John the Baptist comes in and the politicians and the religious leaders get interrupted by God through the person of John. And the title kind of for this session that I wanted to lay out was, Damn, God Wants to Save the World. Or if you can't say that in front of your kids, you could say, Yikes, God Wants to Save the World. Or, Oh crap, God Wants to Save the World. It depends on how you're feeling that day. as a community, I want us to think about how do we live faithfully with one another and faithfully to God while letting go of control of salvation? How do we let it go? Because God has a much bigger picture, a much bigger picture about salvation than most of us, I think, do. And so how do we let go of that stuff, live faithfully as God, oh darn, really actually wants to save this world? The third time we'll get together, we're going to be looking at Luke 3, 7 through 18. And it's where John the Baptist really starts letting people have it and telling people how to live their lives and soldiers and all sorts of people. And so the title of this third session is going to be Mercy and Justice as Moments of Truth. Mercy and Justice as Moments of Truth. And our community question for that time is going to be, how does a wise community struggle with boundaries? How does a wise community struggle with boundaries? And what is that all about? Mercy and justice as moments of truth. And then finally, in our fourth time together, as we look at Luke 1, Mary meets Elizabeth and then Mary sings. Is the kind of the whole thing that goes on there. And the baby, you know, in the womb does its thing, you know. Boop, boop. How many people here are pregnant? One. Is anyone else pregnant? Two? Any other? Excellent. Sometime in session four, I'm going to have you play Mary and Elizabeth and have you come together and bump bellies, and we'll see if any of the babies say anything, you know, or woo, woo. We'll see. Well, I want to see if that's going to happen.
If they're willing.
If who's willing? If the two women are willing?
I mean, I don't think you can force them into this.
Oh. I liked. No, you're right. I can't.
Be careful, Chuck.
I love to force people to do things. No, I don't. I'm very kind and gentle.
When?
To my confirmation students. But for that fourth time, from individual to community experiences of God. This could be our time. How do we take our individual experiences and bring them into community? And then. As a community, I want us to think about how do we create space and time to let all the stuff that's in our life really hit the fan with one another. I don't want to get over it. I want to get better with it. Advent is the season of hope, but hope is meaningless if we don't think about what is its opposite. So if I've totally bummed you all out tonight, you know, don't come back. Really, if I have any goal, any direction, it's that in the midst of taking two very contrasting kinds of things seriously, like hope and despair, mercy, compassion, justice, laying down the law, as we hold those things in tension, God can happen amongst us, and it's a good thing. That's what it's all about. So there'll be some seriousness, there'll be some play, there'll be some laughter, some tears, but it'll be us being together doing that. We have 4 minutes, and in these 4 minutes, like you don't need to stand, just close your eyes for a second again. As you sit with your eyes closed and the presence of God's people around you, think for a moment this Advent. What is it your heart is most expectant for? What would you like to give birth to? What part of you needs to come crashing down in order for the grace of God to grow At what point in time do you throw your hands up to God and say, what should we do? What should we do? And what songs do you sing in the presence of the Lord? With the most quiet whisper that we can muster, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. May the silence become pregnant with hope. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm a scientist. I do research at the university, and I don't believe in very many mysterious things, but I have to tell you what happened to me when we were carrying him. On the way around the corner of the building, we sort of slipped, and when we did that, my eyes met his, and this man was very thin, and he had a beard, and he looked like he was dying. And he said, when our eyes met, everything stopped. It was like time stopped, and I was in a deep cave, and I looked in those eyes, and it was Jesus. And he said, I know it was Jesus. And he said, I don't believe in things like this, so I don't know what to do. And I said, why don't you go talk to your pastor? And so he went and talked to his pastor, and the pastor called me, and he said, the strangest thing, Trudy, this man came and told me this, and the same exact thing happened to me that day. And I wasn't going to tell anyone. And it had happened to both of them. So the scientist he said, my life just won't be quite the same as a scientist because of this. I'm going to believe in more unseen things. And he said, I've got to do something with it. So he wrote it up, and we sent it to Guideposts, and they published his story. About maybe 4 years ago, it was called The Face, but it was about that experience. Now, I want you to think about the times you've been around people who have just died, people who are dying. I want you to think about your own life and your own experiences, and about anything. And this may be just talking to someone at a funeral that touched you. I want you to take some time here and think about the most moving thing or the most touching thing that's ever happened to you in connection with a death. So it doesn't have to be spiritual. It can be spiritual. Something you heard at a memorial service. Take a couple minutes and let something come to you. Just see what comes to you. Hold that in your mind. Do you have something? Does everybody have something?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, don't share it yet.
Okay.
Because
this is the part of the workshop where I want to do the experience of listening in a different way so that you can get this, how you don't have to be able to answer. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to tell one other person, I'm just going to divide you up into pairs. And the person who's talking will talk, and the person who's listening will not talk at all. Person who's listening will just listen. And you can not ask questions, but you can show how you feel with your body. So you can be questioning with your eyes, and you can nod your head, and you can use body language. But I want you to get a sense of what it's like to not talk. And also I want you to get a sense of what it's like to be heard without someone commenting. So the person who's talking will finish, and then you'll just be silent until I say switch to the next person. So the other tool of pastoral care is silence, and we're all pretty much afraid of that. And so this is going to be practicing in listening and in silence both. Okay, and I want you to do this with someone you don't know, which makes it even more uncomfortable, but it makes it work really well. Mark, we're going to do the listening exercise the way we did it before when you were in my group, with the person who's talking talks and the person who's listening doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
You remember? Okay. So, the two of you can maybe go back in the corner there.
This is at the time of a death.
This is something related to death that's been very meaningful to you. And in enough detail so the other person understands why it's very meaningful. If you're not ready, we'll give you a little more time.
Oh, did I put the ready?